Hi, my name's Brad Young, and welcome to Timeless Tactics, your path to unstoppable growth. Today's going to be episode one, The Art of War and Modern Decision Making. And so, you know, I've got several best-selling books that are based on The Art of War. And The Art of War can help you make better, more effective decisions. And so that's why I'm utilizing The Art of War and Modern Decision Making. I mean, this is the first episode of the series, and I believe it's going to be strong because, you know, when we look at the series from a high level, these timeless tactics, these are timeless philosophical principles and tactics that have been used by the greats, you know, by the Sun Tzus of the world, Stoic philosophers, Eastern philosophers, the minimalistic philosophers, all these different, you know, branches of philosophy and different philosophers. We're going to use their timeless tactics to help bring you to a path of unstoppable growth. It's all about growth, but we're going to do it through philosophy, thinking, and working through these things. And you've got to work through and understand what the tactics are. And then we're going to learn how to practically apply them, because practical application is the most important part of anything. There's all types of theory, but we're going to practically apply these. And so when we look at The Art of War, Sun Tzu wrote it over 2,500 years ago. He was a Chinese military strategist. The Art of War is a classic guide to strategy, leadership, and handling conflict. You know, it highlights the importance of preparation, you know, being prepared, adaptability, and knowing both yourself and your opponent. While it was intended to be a military handbook, the lessons go far beyond the battlefield. It influences approaches to business, personal growth, and modern decision-making. And that's why I made it the first episode in the Timeless Tactics series, because it adds a lot of value. And so we start looking at why ancient wisdom still matters today. Well, we think about timeless strategies for competition. You know, the principles of understanding your strengths, weaknesses, and environment can be applied to navigating competitive industries and environments. It can be utilized to understand yourself better, because you need to understand your strengths, weaknesses, and your environment. We're going to dig a little deeper here in number two, the relevance of self-reflection. So we look at self-reflection, I think about a SWOT analysis. And so a SWOT analysis is identifying your strengths, your weaknesses, your opportunities, and your threats to gain a strategic clarity. And so only a small percentage of people use these. I mean, that's for business and personal. And studies suggest that less than 20% of people actively engage in structured self-assessment, which highlights the untapped potential of adopting these methods for personal and business decision-making. I mean, when you look at your strengths, your weaknesses, your opportunities, your threats, you gain an advantage over everyone around you because you understand yourself. Too many people don't understand themselves. They don't self-reflect. They just operate and fly around at breakneck speed, doing things they don't understand why they're even doing, with no good reasoning. So when you think about it, when you step back and you look at your strengths and you understand what they are, and then you look at your weaknesses and you understand that what they are, and you put a plan together to how to overcome them. You know, one of my great weaknesses was I couldn't do enough pull-ups. I felt like, you know, when I'd get to 10, it didn't work out right. I was just not good. You know, I mean, and it was a struggle for me. It was a huge weakness because I was good in so many different, you know, categories. And so I started working hard. I emphasized doing pull-ups, getting better, doing more and working on them. And now, you know, when I go around in my circuits, I do sets of 25 and my max it's 42, and I'm going to try to get to 50 good, real pull-ups, not slinging pull-ups or anything like that, but real pull-ups. And while that's a physical weakness, I really worked on it hard because I felt that I needed to do better than that, you know, and it was just something I identified. And you can do the same thing with yourself. You find your weaknesses and you practically apply what we're talking about and utilize it to get better. I mean, man, I do sets of 25 on a regular basis with no problem. And so that makes it, you know, a gigantic difference in my level of confidence, and I've turned that into a strength. So that's what we're looking at. You know, if you take your weaknesses and you can turn them into your strengths, then to give you more opportunities to understand yourself better and be able to fight off threats. Another timeless principle is adaptability. And so we look at adaptability in ancient wisdom for unpredictable situations. And I used to take people around, especially, you know, in sales, into places and areas to where they needed a high level of adaptability. They needed to understand more about their surroundings and be able to strategize better because of their perceived danger. But I showed them how to adapt and how to treat people in the right manner to not ever have any problems, you know? And so that's the whole key when we're looking at adaptability from ancient wisdom. I mean, it's gonna help you. And so working and focusing on adaptability is something we're gonna look at this throughout the series, because this is definitely not the only episodes that we're gonna use on The Art of War by Sun Tzu. I mean, because there's so much value in here. You know, we're gonna go through a lot of situations with Sun Tzu, because I did it, you know, in so many books. You know, we're gonna look at Stoic wisdom, you know, and other ancient wisdom to be able to learn things and be able to apply them. Effective leadership, you know, the lessons, you know, from Sun Tzu, you know, provide a clear vision, delegation, and motivating others for cultivating, you know, teams and organizations. Teaches you how to do conflict resolution, you know, strategies for de-escalating. Instead of escalating situations, de-escalate. And too many people don't understand this. They want to escalate things too quickly. And that's how you end up with people in a lot of trouble, you know, because when you start escalating things too quickly, it causes you a lot of problems and problems for other people as well, because, you know, we need to, you know, practice de-escalating situations, because we got to save our emotional strength and our physical energy for things that we actually need to be working on instead of conflict. The value of preparation, you know, and when we start looking at planning and foresight, I mean, this is a huge, huge thing from the from ancient wisdom, because the value of preparation can't be emphasized enough. You know, if you prepare and you prepare and you prepare, you'll be ready. You know, I mean, great athletes, they prepare, they focus, and they prep, and they prep, and they prep. And look at your elite of military units. They do the same thing. They prepare and prepare and prepare. And both of them are in the top 1% of people. There's only 1% of either. And there's, you know, there's going to be, you know, a lot of your significance right there is preparation. It's how they prepare. You know, how you prepare is how you do everything. And so Sun Tzu, you know, obviously that's something he's very focused on, is, you know, preparation and being able to continue on in the battle, you know, being ready and being able to continue through with being prepared for what's coming. And, you know, when you do that in your life, you know, you prepare, you're ready for anything that's coming along, but you have to continue to prepare every day, you know, understand what may be coming. Decision-making under pressure, you know, the teachings encourage calm and calculated decision-making. And that's a skill that too few people understand. You know, when you look at decision-making under pressure, people can't make decisions. And you got to stay calm, and you got to make these decisions non-emotionally. Too many people, and that's the problem. They get their emotions involved in things too much instead of making decisions calmly, you know, and thinking about them in a logical way. And so that's why that, you know, there's so much value in this ancient wisdom, why it, you know, why it matters today. And so now we're going to look at the core principles of Sun Tzu's Art of War. So the key tenets are strategy, discipline, adaptability, preparation, deception, and resourcefulness. And the only two, or the last two, that may be not clear enough, because everybody understands what strategy is. Everybody understands what discipline is. Everybody knows about adaptability and preparation. But deception, using misdirection and surprise to gain a competitive advantage. Those two groups that we talked about, elite athletes and elite military units, they use that every single time. So when you think about the Art of War, I mean, misdirection and surprise, it gives you a competitive advantage. And that's what we can do to grow for, you know, for modern decision-making. You know, use deception. You know, use misdirection. Be, you know, surprise people. You know, you don't have to tell everybody your business. See, that's the whole thing. I guess when I, you know, when you put it out in layman's terms, you know, don't tell everybody your business. You're not deceiving, but you don't have to tell everybody your business, what you're doing, what you know, what you're doing, because it's not everybody's business. It gives you a competitive advantage because people don't know what you're doing. It's kind of like your martial arts people. All right. They train in their dojos and places for years and years, and they don't tell people about it, you know, because if somebody's prepared for a certain style of martial arts, you can be a lot more prepared, let's say in a, you know, a street fight. All right. You can be more prepared, but the thing of it is they take people off guard because they don't go around saying, you know, I'm a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt, you know, and then just grab your arm. You know, it's more like, you know, they get into a situation and then they utilize it because they're using deception. They're keeping a competitive advantage because you don't know what they know. And people often overlook and underestimate their opponents. And so the same thing can be said in any type of communication situation. You know, people underestimate people. And so, you know, utilizing, you know, misdirection to gain a competitive advantage. You know, people often underestimate me in so many ways, and it's just hilarious when I think about it and I look at it. They always underestimate me, and I mean, but I do use misdirection and surprise. I don't tell you all my business. I don't tell you what I know. I don't, you know, make a list of everything, and I want it to surprise you. But resourcefulness is the other one that people may not understand quite like the others. But you got to make use of all your available resources to maximize the results, because you want to maximize everything you do. And so, you know, when we're looking at modern communication and decision making, you've got to utilize all your resources. You know, there's so many things available. And so when you're looking at that decision making, you've got to be able to use your resources to be able to make the best decision, because, you know, sometimes you have to reach outside of your box. You have to reach outside of your comfort zone. You got to reach outside of your normal pattern of thinking to see what you should do. And it's hard sometimes. And so now we're going to look at the concept of knowing yourself and knowing your enemy. And so when we think about it for modern decision making, too few people spend time trying to understand their enemy. And so we start looking at this. You got to understand your strengths and weaknesses, you know, to be able to strategize. That's why that SWOT analysis is so important in strategic planning. But you have to understand your strengths and weaknesses. You got to study the habits, behaviors, and tactics of your opponents. You got to recognize patterns that can be exploited to your advantage. So when you look at your opponent, you know, great fighters do this, you know, great elite military units do this. They recognize the patterns of their opponents to be able to exploit the advantage. They find all their blind spots. See, when, you know, people have to understand we all have blind spots, and we have to recognize and understand them. You got to be aware of the resources, skills, and limitations for both sides. Continuously adapt your approach based on new information. You got to be adaptable. You know, when you know yourself and know your enemy, you know, you've got to be adaptable. And when you get new information, you've got to change your plan. You've got to adapt your plan when you get new information. You know, it's just kind of like the martial arts situation. You know, if you already know that your opponent is a brown belt, and let's just say taekwondo, then you're already expecting to be kicking and certain type of movements versus the deception of not having any idea, you know, because you can't treat a grappler the same as you would somebody that's like a kickboxer. Total different strategy. But if you don't understand and know what they know, then, you know, you're behind. And so that's why you have to continually adapt based on your new information. If they go into a certain stance, then you figured something out. You figured out a little bit right then. So you have to adapt and say, okay, wait a minute. Are they dancing around just a little bit and they put their hands up? Okay, they're a boxer. You know, you got to understand that. Seek to predict your opponent's moves and plan countermeasures. And this is very high level strategic planning and can help you in your decision making so much, because, you know, when you think about who your opponent is and you look at what their moves are and you're able to plan your countermeasures, you're able to plan ahead and, you know, stay one step ahead of your opponent, then you're always going to be ahead of the game, you know, because when we're looking at modern decision making, I mean, you have to really, really think about that. You gotta, you know, you gotta think about how you're gonna make a decision based on their moves ahead of time, and then have your countermeasures. You gotta be able to counterpunch. So when we start looking at the relevance of these principles, I mean, when you look at the principles, you know, in your decision making, what they do from a leadership and decision making side is they encourage strategic thinking and planning. They help in assessing risk and opportunities effectively. They foster adaptability in the face of changing circumstances. And so adaptability is going to be your most important skill. They promote a deeper understanding of competitors or challenges. They support clear and goal-oriented decision-making. They enhance the ability to anticipate and address conflicts proactively. So you know what's going to happen before it even happens. And that's in, you know, high-level strategic planning. So we, you know, as we look at decision-making and utilizing these principles, you can see how valuable they are. So how Sun Tzu's tenets can help with modern decision-making. So it promotes clarity by encouraging a deep analysis of the situation before acting. Enhances resource allocation by focusing on efforts of high impact areas. We can all, you know, we can all utilize these. We can improve risk management through evaluation of potential outcomes. Risk management's, you know, very high paying, very high in demand area, because you got to understand what your risks are. Whatever area you're in, you got to understand, because then you have to understand the risk. Then you can evaluate what the potential outcomes are. I mean, a good example would be the risk involved. Like many years ago in transportation, we were hauling game units. I can't say the name of the brand name, but it's just, you know, they were very expensive, and we had trailer, you know, truck 52 foot dry vans full of them, and they were going from Memphis to different areas. And we had someone that quote unquote fell asleep at the truck stop, and then several pallets got robbed off the back of the truck. And so from a risk management standpoint, we were self-insured, and so we didn't do enough to make sure of what the patterns in the of that driver was before that. Even though we couldn't accuse them because they were quote unquote asleep, there was some risk involved when we did a little bit further investigation. So if we'd have did a deeper dive into risk management, we would have understood that better. And the company after that, you know, we had, obviously they had to have a car follow it for so many miles, and you could only stop at certain places because, you know, the outcome was, I mean, there was several $100,000 worth of items taken off of that trailer, stolen, we had to pay for. So risk management, you know, when you're looking at modern decision-making, there's risk involved in every area you go, including the risk you don't take. But, you know, Sun Tzu's tenets help with encouraging proactive planning to stay ahead, strengthen your adaptability to shift strategies in response to unforeseen changes. You know, adaptability, we're going to go to it again. I mean, you know, when you evaluate yourself, see how adaptable you are. You know, I mean, you got to think about, you know, how adaptable am I really in different areas, and write it down. I mean, these things will all help. But it helps you foster innovation by identifying alternate approaches to achieve an objective. You got to think outside the box, think in different ways, because there's more than one way to achieve a goal. You know, people have this one way in mind, and they think their way is the only way and the right way, and that's not necessarily true. But the Sun Tzu's tenets help with modern decision-making by supporting teamwork and collaboration. Build confidence in decision-making by aligning actions with long-term goals. They reduce impulsive decisions by promoting patience and deliberation. And they optimize performance by learning from past victories and setbacks. And so you learn from the obstacles and the challenges that get in your way. You know, you learn and you upset them. And so, you know, there's plenty of case studies you can look at to understand, you know, what a challenge would be, what an approach, an outcome, and what lesson you learn. I mean, I've got a simple example. You know, you're on a project and you have unexpected delays due to resource shortages. And, you know, I've had this happen in plenty of areas. And so what you have to do is you got to think about it. All right, so you've got sources to a certain resource. It could be human resources. It could be physical resources. And so I've seen that, especially, you know, in manufacturing, you get a shortage of a certain type of a resource, you know, a certain thing that's made, and the lead time is increased and doubled. So what do you do? Well, the approach, you know, you would need to assess the situation, identify alternative suppliers, which you should have already done, and then prioritize critical tasks to maintain progress. You know, so then you have to prioritize the critical tasks, which is getting the resources to maintain your progress. And so once you've assessed it, you've identified alternative suppliers, you can win. You can still be able to make it. And you should already have those alternative suppliers, because what happens, a lot of them are going to be a little bit more expensive, but how much money are you losing shutting down? You know, and so when you strategically reallocate your resources and you adjust your timelines, the project could be saved. You know, it's going to help with whatever your client expectations are as well, because you're letting them know and you're communicating it, you know. But proactive problem solving is something we can learn from Sun Tzu and the Art of War, and then, you know, on modern decision making. I made a simple case study, you know, example here, but I mean, you can use it for, you know, real complex things that are, you know, because all you have to do is write down the challenge. You got to write down your approach, what the outcome is going to be, and the lesson you learn. Figure out how this is going to happen. If you're planning ahead, you'll see these things coming. You know, it's like, you know, as we watch the news, look at certain resources, you know, we're going to be more expensive, or they're going to be more in demand. You know, make sure you have those resources. That's why you stock up in life. When you make decisions, you know, you got to think about that. I mean, stay stocked up on these things. And so when we start looking at applying these decision-making tactics, and so what we do is we develop resilience by anticipating potential challenges and prepare contingency plans, enhance leadership skills through strategic delegation and communication, foster innovation by encouraging creative problem-solving and adaptability, and then strengthen team dynamics by promoting collaboration and shared objectives. And these all sound simple, but this is where, you know, this is where people fail and they miss out on some of the most important parts of strategic planning, because they don't work as teams. They're not, you know, adaptable. They're not, you know, they're not adapting. They're not delegating tasks that they should delegate. They're not, and they're definitely not looking at potential challenges. So this happens more than we realize. I mean, it happens. And so as we finish up here, you know, we've learned quite a bit, you know, about modern decision-making based on the principles of Sun Tzu's Art of War. And so here's some steps to integrate these principles into your daily life. You know, evaluate your strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats to better understand yourself and your position. You know, when you step back, understand who you are. And that's the best way to start. Understand who you are, what you have, and why people should care. Analyze your battlefield by analyzing your challenges and opportunities in your environment. So when you look at the challenge, your opportunities and threats, that's your personal battlefield, whether it's in business or your personal life. You know, you've got challenges, you know, whether it's a spouse that doesn't want you to do something, that tries to do whatever, or if it's a friend that wants to distract you, that's your battlefield. But you have to assess the challenge and look at the opportunities to be able to grow and continually move forward. Another way to integrate these principles is to develop a clear strategy with precise goals and a step-by-step plan. You know, you got to be adaptable. So you're going to practice adaptability by preparing for unexpected challenges and obstacles. And that's what we have to do every single day, is prepared for those challenges. And that's the problem people have in so many areas of life, because they don't practice and understand adaptability is going to be your most important skill. Because if you're adaptable, you can take that strategy with the precise goals and you can adapt it. You know, you can adapt it and move forward, and people don't do that, you know. And so if you'll write down what your strategy is for whatever topic you're doing, whatever your battlefield is, whatever you're trying to do better at, you write down the strategy, you have precise, specific goals, a step-by-step plan, then it at least gives you an opportunity to go back and change things, because you can be adaptable. If you don't write it down in the first place, you won't achieve anything. And so being adaptable is going to be, again, a high level skill here. Another way to do this is communicate effectively with your team to ensure that alignment and mutual understanding. And this happens too much in too many different areas. I mean, no matter what industry you work in, communication is lacking, it appears. You know, I go into places and I mean, they say one thing, but then nothing aligns with what they're saying. Nothing. You know, they say one thing and then nothing aligns. And so make sure that you're communicating effectively and you're, what you're saying is the same thing you're doing. It's aligning with what you're doing. Make sure your actions follow what you say. Another way to integrate Sun Tzu's principles into life is focus on timing and patience. You know, acting decisively when the right opportunity arrives. So you got to be, you know, focus on your timing and your patience to be ready. Because when that opportunity gets here, you got to take it. And commit to continuous learning, to refine your skills and stay ahead of the competition. I mean, these are all very practical steps you can take to integrate these principles into your life. That's going to improve your modern decision making. You know, these principles are over 2,500 years old, but they will help your modern decision making in a significant way. They're going to help you in so many ways. You'll just step back, write down what we've talked about, and start applying it today. But this has been the Timeless Tactic Podcast. My name's Brad Young. Thanks and have a great day.